I'm Jensen Franklin, and you're listening to Family Talk, a radio ministry of the James Dobson Family Institute.
Well, greetings and welcome to Family Talk. I'm Roger Marsh, and today on the broadcast, we're going to share Dr. Dobson's 2018 conversation with Pastor Jensen Franklin. Jensen Franklin is the senior pastor of Free Chapel in Gainesville, Georgia. His program, Kingdom Connection, is a weekly broadcast that airs on numerous Christian television networks all over the world. Jensen Franklin is a New York Times best-selling author. He has written 10 books, including Love Like You've Never Been Hurt and The Fearless Life. Jensen and his wife, Cherise, have 5 children and 4 grandchildren. In 2018, Pastor Franklin visited the Family Talk studios to discuss his book, Love Like You've Never Been Hurt. He and Dr. Dobson had met for the first time earlier that year when they traveled to Israel together with a group of evangelical leaders. Today, you'll hear Jensen Franklin and Dr. Dobson recall their memories of that momentous trip. He will also share some of his personal testimony as well. So let's listen in right now.
I'm absolutely delighted to have a guest here today who is already known by millions of people around the world. He hosts a weekly TV broadcast called Kingdom Connection that's on in nearly 250 countries around the world. He is also a senior pastor at Free Chapel in Atlanta, Georgia, where 13,000 people worship each week. He speaks, I think, 3 or 4 times every Sunday morning. This man is working hard, and the Lord is using everything he's doing. I'm speaking of Jensen Franklin. Let me just say that he flew across country to be with us today, for which I am very appreciative. Jensen, I really am pleased that you came. You're a busy man. People already know who you are. I'm just getting acquainted with you, and you're one of those people whom I feel like I've known for a lifetime, even though we've really only known each other since June. Do you remember where it was that we got acquainted?
Yeah, I do. First of all, I've known you a whole lot longer than you've known me because I was listening to you. I remember one of my fondest memories of you, quite frankly, is when I was going to college. I used to drive about an hour to the campus where I went to school, and I was going to pursue music. I was a music major. I was on full scholarship. I play saxophone and play jazz. And I would listen on my radio to your radio ministry. And that's where I met you. It was my daily routine every day. It just so happened when I was traveling, I was listening to you, and I sure do honor you, and I'm sure honored to be here.
Isn't it interesting how radio can put you in touch with people? I didn't meet you for a long, long time, but you knew me.
I felt like I knew you like a father. I mean, there were times when sometimes I'd be laughing at some of the things and some of the guests, and then other times I'd be wiping tears while I was driving that car because of the, you know, you've always had that ability to touch people's hearts with truth, and it comes right through that radio. It's amazing what God has done.
Well, it's really a pleasure to get better acquainted with you. As a matter of fact, we had an opportunity to be together for 10 or 12 hours on the way to Israel.
Yeah.
We didn't choose to sit together, but the Lord chose it. And man, that was a very meaningful time together. I was in tears during part of that conversation, and I think you were too.
I just never dreamed that I would have that opportunity to have James Dobson pinned in on the inside seat and to get the wisdom that you so, you know, I didn't want to be like a stalker and bother you, but you are such a kind person, and what people hear on the radio is who you really are. Mm-hmm. You know, I began to just probe and ask a couple questions that I had to ask, and I don't know, I think I hit the gold vein or something, because you begin to pour out wisdom in those few hours that, and then I let you go to sleep eventually. But but I tell you, I'll never forget those conversations, the stories that you shared, and the wisdom, the incredible wisdom.
Well, you're very kind. We were on our way to Israel,
that's
as
right.
I said. That was one of the finest trips that I've ever been on. How'd you feel about it?
Unbelievable. You know, we went there as guests of the Israeli government. And we met with the prime minister. We met with many other dignitaries.
The mayor of Jerusalem.
And to see what is happening and to know that our administration was willing to move that embassy to Jerusalem and make Jerusalem the capital, recognized for the first time in history by America, was just unreal.
They gave us 8 helicopters. There were 29 in our group.
Yeah. And you know, one of the things that still stand out to me that people just don't get unless you go there is when they took us in those helicopters to the border where Syria and the Russians are there and Syria is there and ISIS is there. And they showed us that we could see the flag of ISIS from a distance. And you know, people don't realize the enemies that are on the border at the door of that tiny nation of Israel and how critical it is that we have a government that stands with Israel.
I was deeply touched spiritually during that time. You remember when one of those helicopters stopped just outside the ruins of the synagogue where Mary Magdalene worshiped. Wasn't that incredible?
It was.
And the pathway in front of where that synagogue was leads right down to the Galilee. And Jesus had to have walked right past there and no doubt attended that synagogue.
Yeah.
All 8 of the helicopters took us into the Golan Heights and into the place where Israel had one of its major battles against Syria. I think that may have been the Six-Day War.
I'm not sure. You're correct.
And the commanding general for that battle was with us up on the hill looking down on what took place. And the Syrians had as many as 10 times as many tanks as the Israelis did. And that general stood there, commander, told us, I moved here and I moved there, and he was able to describe that entire battle. And of course, Israel not only won it, but he drove off the remaining tanks that were there. That was deeply emotional for me.
Yeah, and I mean, we were standing there, and they even had some of the tanks still out there that had been blown up, you know, Russian tanks that were out there. And to realize, you know, that God defends Israel, that he said, no weapon formed against you will prosper, and that I'll bless those that bless Israel, and I'll fight those that fight it.
And it would not be there today if the Lord's hand had not been on them, because they were outgunned, outnumbered. They had Russian military equipment and everything, and the Lord simply intervened.
1,000 tanks, if I remember right.
Yes.
They were fighting against 1,000 tanks, and they only had maybe 100.
Well, we don't have time to review the entire trip, but it was unbelievable. I would like to make reference to the fact that I had been there 25 years before. I haven't been back since 1993. And while our group was going through Hezekiah's tunnel, I have a little claustrophobia, so I went and met with the chief rabbi at that time.
Wow.
And Rabbi Lau. And he turns out to be the same chief rabbi that we met with in Jerusalem. And it's absolutely amazing because he stood up there and talked about some of those wonderful events that have taken place to make them the nation that they are today. But anyway, you and I and I think 27 other people were able to spend those 7 days. It wore me out, did it you? I came home exhausted and caught pneumonia when I got home.
I didn't know that. I'm sorry to hear that. You know, it was exhausting, but it was unforgettable. And I'm just thrilled at what's going on in Israel.
Jensen, I'm thrilled by what God is doing in your life. Don't you look around every now and then and say, what in the world is God doing here? You're all over the place, 250 countries, and running back and forth across the United States. And the Lord has poured out his blessings on you.
He has. You know, I'm from Eastern North Carolina. I lived in a cornfield. My parents lived there for a while. My granddad had 28 children. My mother has 27 brothers and sisters.
You're kidding.
No, sir. And so he was a very blessed man. He was a prayerful man. Reminds me a lot when I hear the stories of your father. My grandfather was that he was a businessman, very astute businessman. And he had a sawmill and he owned a lot of real estate. He had thousands and thousands of acres. And he sent every one of those 28 children through college. He
did
many of them CPAs, teachers, and business people. And the bottom line on it is he started a faith blessing on my family, my grandfather. I can remember going home for Christmas, and he built a beautiful home there. And, of course, you know, when you have that many children, it's a large estate. And he honored God. He was a tither. He was a man of prayer. He went to church religiously on Sunday and honored God. And that kind of got passed down. I believe in those generational blessings. And I think a lot of the things that I walk in today, the blessings, the favor that God has given me, I don't even earn it or deserve it. It's just I probably granddaddy and daddy and some of those people, my mother, have stored up prayers.
See, my family goes, the Christian faith goes back to my great-grandfather,
wow,
who was a minister. And so was my grandfather and my grandmother and my father. And I'm the first one in four generations that haven't been specifically called into the ministry. But as we sit here talking about the Lord, I somehow think maybe the Lord is smiling at me, or at least my grandfather is.
Yeah, if you're not in the ministry, I don't want to be in the ministry trying, if you, honestly.
Your but father was a minister.
Yes, yes, he was. You know, and being from Eastern North Carolina, kind of just little bitty towns, and to go all over the world and preach, I tell people I'm as country as cornbread. This is all I've ever known, but I truly am amazed at God's ability to raise us up. And he looks for the heart. He looks for a heart that, you know, God blesses where his reputation is safe and we're doing our best to do it right and learn from people just like you who have done it right for many years.
Well, you're listening to Family Talk, the broadcast division of the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute. I'm Roger Marsh, just jumping in for a brief moment here. First, I want to thank you so much for tuning in today. We are listening to a classic episode featuring Dr. Dobson and his conversation with Pastor Jensen Franklin of Free Chapel in Gainesville, Georgia. Dr. Dobson and Pastor Franklin first met in 2018 on a trip they took with other evangelical leaders to the Holy Land. That trip had a profound impact on both of these men, and they spent the first half of today's program reminiscing about what they experienced. In this next half, Pastor Franklin will share his story about his early years and how he came to be a Christian. So now let's rejoin Dr. James Dobson and his guest, Pastor Jensen Franklin, right now on Family Talk.
Tell me about your salvation experience. How old were you and how did it happen?
When I really feel like I just turned everything over to the Lord, I was 16. And I went through a little time being a pastor's kid, a preacher's kid. I wanted to see what was on the other side. I wanted to taste and see my senior year, you know. And so I wanted to try this and try that, and I did a little bit of that. I was not a very successful sinner because I think my parents put so much prayer on me. My friends would do things, and they wouldn't get caught. I'd do any little thing, and everybody and their brother would know about it. My mom would get a call before I could get home. So, you know, it's really stacked against me. But, and that's a real lesson to people listening is, you know, keep praying for your family. Keep holding them up. I told somebody one time, I said, you know, my friends would get high and they would see pink elephants and psychedelic colors. I would get high and I'd see Moses and Elijah. I felt like it. I was always terrified that Jesus was going to come back in the middle of my party or something.
So where did the deeper walk come?
It happened one Friday night in a revival. A missionary was speaking at Dad's church from Trinidad. I'll never forget it. His name was Ram Kassoon, Pastor Ram Kassoon, and he was a missionary from Trinidad. And I, I was sitting in the back row, still kind of in a rebellious state, but something he said just touched my heart. I don't even remember what it was. It was the spirit and the heart of the man that reached me, and I couldn't stand it anymore, and he gave an invitation, and I went down to the altar. I was gloriously saved. I never looked back. I never turned back. I decided if I'm going to live for the Lord, I'm going to go all the way. Mm. And then I started... Really, my second year of college, I felt this dissatisfaction about, I love music, still do, but I knew there was more. I felt a call to preach, and I began fasting about it. I just began to fast. I don't know why I started fasting. I didn't know that much about it.
As a new Christian, you were fasting.
Yeah, I read it in the Bible. After 3 days of fasting, I just knew that I knew that I knew God had called me to preach. And I went back and told my dad, and he said, if you can do anything else and do it and feel like you can go to heaven, you should do that. But if you can't, then you're truly called and you need to obey God, son. And so I knew that was what I was supposed to do, and I haven't ever looked back.
Where did you start?
I preached a revival. My brother was an evangelist. He was a preacher, and he had graduated from college, and he asked me to travel with him one summer because I played piano, too, and I would do music for him before he would preach. And he let me preach my first sermon in his revival. And boy, it was pitiful.
What did you preach on?
I preached from Philippians chapter 3, forgetting the things that are behind and reaching for what is ahead. My big point in it was sometimes you don't just need a good memory, you need a good forgettery. And the Lord wants you to forget some things and reach for some new things.
Do you ever look around again and just say, Lord, what are you doing here?
Yeah. You know, about 4 weeks ago, we had a annual conference we do called Forward Conference there in Atlanta at the Infinite Arena. It's about 14,000 teenagers, millennials there, and the place was packed. It was sold out. They'd come from all over the nation, and I was about to go out to preach, you know, and it just moved me to tears. I found myself very emotional, and I'm glad I pulled it together, but to know that God just uses ordinary people. Sometimes we think we've got to be sensational and got to be spectacular. But, you know, God told Moses, what's in your hand? It's just an ordinary stick.
Yeah.
When he relinquished it and gave it to God, he made it into something supernatural. But the greatest part of that story to me, Dr. Dobson, is when he picked that thing up that God had used so supernaturally, that stick. It went from being a snake back to a stick. And one time I preached a message that the greatest miracle is not that God can take you and use you in a phenomenal way, but can you go back to being a stick? Mm-hmm. Can you go back to being ordinary and normal and humble after the Lord uses you in a miraculous
way? And raises
way?
You up.
That's it.
See, you said very nice things about me a few minutes ago. And I'm always a little uncomfortable with that because I remember my humble beginnings. You know, my dad was a minister, and you know, you don't have a whole lot to live on when that occurs. And Shirley and I got married, both of us teaching school, and we see ourselves the way we were then. We see ourselves as just Jim and Shirley and a little couple that fell in love and got married, and the Lord blessed their relationship. And I don't feel that anything that's happened to me, and some of it has been kind of breathtaking, had a lot to do with me. I think it was really a product of my dad's prayer life because the Lord made promises to him about his son, me. And so I just... say, Lord, I don't want to mess it up. Billy Graham was interviewed, I think, by the Los Angeles Times when he first broke in as an evangelist, and everybody was talking about him. And they asked him what is your greatest fear? And he said, my greatest fear is that the Lord will raise me up and make me visible and influential, and I will do something to disappoint the Lord and hurt the kingdom.
That's powerful.
And that has stuck with me. This was really early. I feel that way today. I could still mess
me
it
too.
Up.
Me too. And I think the most dangerous time in a person's life is when they have nothing and when they have everything. Particularly, I think the greater test is when God does raise you up and bless you. And for me, one time when I was fasting, I felt like, you know, the Lord was impressing upon my heart that it's dangerous to have a growing ministry and a shrinking passion for God.
Yeah.
It really is.
He'll bring you down.
We're not created to handle that. We have to constantly go back to our source and why He trusted us in the first place.
I think of Hezekiah, and you remember he had pleased the Lord in his whole life. There's no record of anything that he did that was not in keeping with God's will until he came time to die. And he was lying on his bed and he was crying and he was looking at the wall and he was saying, Lord, I don't want to die. Give me more time. And the Lord gave him 15 years more.
That's right.
And in that 15 years, he angered the Lord. There he was. He should have been dead. He should have died. He was set to die. And the Lord's going to let him die. And then he begged for more time, and he got 15 more years. And during that 15 years, he opened his treasury, and he showed the Egyptians his gold.
Wow.
And he didn't have any right to even be there, and he's bragging about it. And God will not tolerate pride, man. I mean, he will.
That's right.
I don't care who you are.
That's right.
You think you're big stuff. Yeah, he will cut the legs out from under you. You start doing that.
That is so good. And such a lesson that everybody, you know, that has experienced any kind of success in their life need to hear over and over and over again to be careful to give God the glory and to need Him as much as you needed Him when you started. I think that's why fasting is a powerful thing to me.
Yes.
It's when I feel myself becoming mechanical, when I feel myself, you know, just kind of walking
going
in,
through the motions.
Going through the motions. If I'll fast from sunup to sundown or even a half a day or skip lunch, it's amazing how quick your sensitivity back to God, you know, your heart back to God and His Spirit, it's just quickened. And we always have to guard that.
Well, we're talking to Reverend Jensen Franklin, and we had intended to talk about your book, and if you'll stay with us, we'll talk about that next time.
I'd love to.
The title of the book is Love Like You've Never Been Hurt. Boy, that's a really interesting title because it's got a story within it. The occasions when you really love someone, you're most vulnerable to them. And that's what you're talking about, isn't it?
That's it.
Love like you've never been hurt. We'll talk about that next time. Thank you for coming to be with us. You're going to stay for another broadcast, and I'm delighted that you're here. Give your wife and your family my regards. Shirley gives hers to you. God's blessings to you, Jensen.
Love you.
And may He continue to bless you, and we'll talk together next time.
Pastor Jensen Franklin and Dr. James Dobson have reminded us that God honors the humble and causes the proud to fall, and we all would be wise to remember and meditate on that truth. It's also important to honor God with everything we do for Him to receive His glory. If you enjoyed today's program, and I sure hope you have, be sure to join us again tomorrow for the conclusion of Dr. Dobson's conversation with Pastor Jensen Franklin here on Family Talk. Now, if you'd like to learn more about Pastor Jensen Franklin, his books, and his ministry, visit our broadcast page at drjamesdobson.org/Family Talk, or simply visit the Family Talk app. Remember, you can also give us a call. Our number is 877-732-6825. Election Day is almost upon us, and as each day passes, the future of our nation becomes more and more uncertain. You might be listening right now, and you've got your vote packet all filled out and ready to pop in the mail. Or perhaps you're voting soon, and you'll be taking advantage of early voting where you live. And many of our listeners still prefer to go to the polls on November 5th, and that's a good way to vote as well. If you have yet to vote, please prayerfully consider biblical values and principles when making your choice. And here at the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute, we've done a lot of that work for you. You can check out our voting resources at drjamesdobson.org/countdown to decision 2024. You can sign up to download our free voter guide. You can watch episodes of our Countdown to Decision 2024 podcast. The latest installment, by the way, features Ali Beth Stuckey, and previous guests include Kirk Cameron, Eric Metaxas, Riley Gaines, and others. Again, for more information on how to watch the episodes of the Countdown to Decision 2024 podcast, or to sign up to download our free voter guide, go to drjamesdobson.org/countdown-to-decision-2024. I'm Roger Marsh, and you've been listening to Family Talk, the voice you trust for the family you love. Be sure to join us again next time when Dr. Dobson continues his conversation with Pastor Jensen Franklin, talking about his book called Love Like You've Never Been Hurt, Hope, Healing, and the Power of an Open Heart. That's coming up next time right here on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
This has been a presentation of the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute.